Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, Bridgestone Arena. Predators tonight against the Dallas Stars, home opener, Barry Trotz right here, 5 o'clock. Now, I got to throw a flag on myself, Ian. This should be a personal foul, by the way. Personal foul or a five-yarder? What do we think?
No personal foul.
I was supposed to give away a pair of tickets every hour to the Seattle Kraken game next Tuesday. I forgot to give away a pair of tickets in the last hour. So we're starting off this hour by giving them away right now. Be caller 5-615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, October 15th. Good luck there. We'll be giving away another pair this hour. And TD will be with us here at Bridgestone Arena to start off the next hour for the TD Power Hour. So I heard something yesterday out of Will Levis that my antenna went up and it was like, red alert, all hands to battle stations. I mean, well, what are we talking about? Paul Kaharsky asked Will Levis, and he said he was going to do this yesterday in the morning show, about what happened to all the wow plays last year. Like, yeah, Levis made some mistakes last year, and Levis wasn't perfect. But for the most part, there were a handful of times last year where we saw Levis make a throw, and we thought, damn! And what happened to that? Here's what Levis said.
You made some really elite wow throws last year. Brian talked about those coming in as one of the things that made you an attractive guy to inherit. Seems like fewer of those this year. Where do you think they are?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've had a couple good ones out there, but I feel like at the end of the day, I'm just doing or taking the throws that I have available to me. And I could argue that some of those throws were not necessary last year. And that maybe I had an opportunity to make those dangerous throws this year that I haven't. I feel like that's one of the areas I've improved on the most, is just not throwing it into, you know, just team meetings and just cloudy windows. And then I would just say I felt like I was throwing the ball the best that I ever was in my entire career. So as of last week, so it wasn't like an ability thing where I feel like I didn't have it anymore. Just feel like the opportunities haven't presented itself, but I know I got it in me. And I know that they'll come.
Red alert, all hands at battle stations. Everybody, did you hear that right there? The quarterback said, I think this is the best I've been throwing the ball. And the wow plays, some of the things I did last year, you know, I didn't need them. It's easier. And as soon as I heard that, I was reminded of something I read this offseason. This was from May. Albert Breer wrote it at Sports Illustrated. It was called Inside the Education of Will Levis. By the way, what did happen to some of the wow plays? Because by my count this year, he's got one. And like Chig catching the touchdown at Chicago was a wow play by Chig. To me, the best throw Levis made was a ball that Calvin Ridley dropped against the Jets. Other than that, there haven't been a whole lot of wow. Did you see that? But I go back to this article that came out in May, where they let Albert Breer in the facility with Levis and Callahan, and I think there was an SI article where Levis against the Falcons had a deep throw last year, and it hit Treylon Burks square in the hands, and he didn't catch it, and Brian Callahan demonized it because he didn't need it. So I'm reading what they wrote in this, after hearing Levis say that he doesn't need the deep ball that much or to take those big plays. This is from Albert Breer. Quote, I'd ask Callahan to take me through some of the tape to show why he was so all in on Levis, to the point where the Titans, in Callahan's first year and in possession of the 7th pick, didn't so much as sniff around on the quarterbacks available high in the draft. The first play he showed was a 1st and 10 at Tennessee's 36 in the first quarter, right after the Titans converted a fake punt with Derrick Henry square behind Levis and tight ends to each side. By the way, I did go back this morning and look at that play from last year. This is one of them, Callahan says, now smiling as if to anticipate the reaction. Some of these play actions, some of these deeper shots, I watch this. This is a stupid effing throw, Levis interjects with a grimace. I didn't have to say it, Callahan responds, but yes, that's the point. On one hand, on this play, the coach saw a 24-year-old make a throw that no more than a couple of dozen of people on the planet could execute. It was a beautiful throw with a guy right in his face, and he threw it 25 yards down the field, outside the numbers, into double coverage, and it hit Treylon Burks in the hands. And you guys will be shocked to know Treylon Burks did not catch the ball. That's the play they're talking about. So continues, Breer writes, the education of Will Levis. Levis carries out a play action to Henry to his right and drops straight back in the pocket. As he sets up, Atlanta clearly isn't fooled. Nose tackle Lakale London's quickly in Levis's face as he looked to his left. London gets to Levis, knocks him off balance, and Levis somehow wills the ball deep downfield and to his right just outside corner D. Alford and post safety Richie Grant. It fell incomplete, but it hurt Treylon Burks in the hands. Again, shocked to know that it hit Burks in the hands. Meanwhile, Breer writes, tight end Chigakonkwo was wide open in the opposite flat, releasing late into his route and as the play intended to give Levis an outlet. This was not an advisable throw, nor was it an advisable position to be in, Callahan says. It was like, holy S-word, this is not smart. I look at it and I go, God, if Will can just learn that on first and 10, just throw the ball right there in the flat, that Chig's in the flat, Chig is in the flat and going to catch the ball and run for 12 yards, and it's going to be first and 10 again at the 50. Instead, Will's trusting his arm and his ability. The other part of it, Callahan says, is it's an effing unbelievable throw. You watch it from the end zone. There's a guy in his face. It's horrendous eyes, horrendous progression, guy bearing down on him. He can't step into the throw. The guy's 40 yards down the field, and he just sort of flicks it while he's getting hit and drops the ball right in his hands. It's an incredibly accurate throw for what that was going on. I'm watching this, and I'm like, again, another word you can't say. So what Callahan's saying in this individual play right here, and again, this is the article was the education of Will Levis. What Callahan is saying is, my God, Levis made a great throw right there, and it could have been a big play. But we want you to think about it more, and we want you to be more conservative, and we want you to take the check down, and we want you to... I'm not saying Will Levis is Brett Favre, but I think at his best, Will Levis does have kind of a YOLO mentality. And so when it comes to Will Levis and him saying, like, hey, maybe I didn't need some of those throws last year, he's talking about a ball that he threw 40 yards down the field and hit Treylon Burks in the hands. That was his natural inclination. Brian Callahan saying, I like that you can do that because not a lot of people can do that, but I want you to do this. I don't think you can do that with Will Levis. I think Brian Callahan wants the best of both worlds. An older, more experienced quarterback. I don't know, like Matthew Stafford in his prime when Brian Callahan worked with him, probably had the ability to know when to let it fly, when to trust the instincts and talent and ability, and when we needed to play it safe. I don't know if you guys have watched Will Levis. He can't do that. Will Levis can't think. He's just got to go out and play. It is what it is. And what's happened is, with Levis, you got some of the wow off of the natural instincts and reaction, and you got some of the dumb off of the natural instincts and reaction. What Brian Callahan's trying to do is he's trying to keep the wow but get rid of the dumb. Instead, what's happened is he's gotten rid of the wow and he's keeping the dumb. That's the worst of both worlds. And it reminds me of something Coach Charlie Weiss said to me. I asked him, I said, there's all these young quarterbacks in the league, rookie quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks. I asked him this summer on my SiriusXM show, I said to Coach Charlie Weiss, I said, what would your advice be? Again, this is the guy that grew Tom Brady. Belichick's a defensive coach. This was the offensive coach. And I said, I go, what would you tell these coaches that are bringing along these young quarterbacks? Like, what advice would you give them? Here's what Charlie Weiss said.
Make sure you do what they do well, not what you want them to do. In other words, you don't make them fit into your offense. You build the offense around what they do well and do a lot of that. So when they come in there, you find out what they're best at and then do a whole hell of a lot of that. And as time goes on, you do more and you do more. And you do more, okay? But find out, first of all, what they're good at. And instead, you know, too many coaches are hard-headed. They bring a guy in, and they think that the guy, you have a guy that at the quarterback position, they want to teach him the whole playbook. The hell with that. Figure out what they're good at and just do that more. I mean, what's wrong with repeating good stuff? Why do you have to have 9 million different things? Find out what they do well and do a lot of that and then expand from there. And that is the golden rule to success for any young quarterback.
Bingo. What happened was Brian Callahan thought, I got this God-given ability I can work with in Will Levis. But I can coach him, and I can give him the whole play, and I can tell him what I want him to do on every play, and I can. And if you don't think that Brian Callahan thinks he can do that, first of all, he should be confident, and I want him to be confident. But young coaches are overconfident. And in this case, I think Brian Callahan had a plan in his head. This is what I'm going to teach Will Levis to do. And I can do it. The same way they said, I can do it at right tackle with PT. But they know better than that now. I kept trying to tell them. They didn't want to listen. And what's happened is, by Brian Callahan thinking he knew what to do with Will Levis, his plan was, again, get out the reckless, embrace the talent, but let's be safe. Instead, what it's done is it has minimized the talent, taken away the good parts, but hasn't really changed the reckless. And the one thing I would say is it'd be a lot easier to stomach some of these Levis mistakes if Levis was countering them with the wow. If Levis has two great throws and one bad one, we can excuse the one bad. The problem is when your entire game now is checking it down and you're excited about completion percentage, well, that's not going to do you a lot of good when you throw a pick six against Green Bay and it's like, well, what the hell did you do? Oh, I checked it down to Chig. Congratulations, you lost. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I don't know if my light bulb moment this morning over that, like, I don't know if I presented that well enough through the radio about when I heard what Levis said about maybe I didn't need it and, you know, some of those wild plays. And I'm like, oh, my God. This goes back to what they were proud about in May of, we're going to teach you not to do that, that ball you threw 40 yards down the field that hit Burks in the hands that he didn't catch. Now, let's throw the ball 40 yards down the field, hit Burks in the hands, but this time let's take Burks out. Let's put a $25 million receiver in there, and let's hit him in the hands and catch it. That's what I would prefer. And again, I think this is Brian Callahan, his first year as a head coach, thinking that, hey, I can do this when it is a lot harder than you think. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Now, there is a stat with Levis that is concerning under Brian Callahan. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Let's talk Window Nation. I absolutely love Window Nation. Window Nation will take great care of you. I can promise you that. Window Nation came to my home. I had a check ready for them to say, okay, tell me what I need to do to replace my windows. And they said, your windows are good. You do not need to replace your windows. I said, I don't need to replace my windows. They said, no, you don't. Now, I've since moved. I've moved into an older house, bigger house, but older house. And thus, there may be some older windows in there. And that would require a call to Window Nation. And I'm not afraid to do it because I know I can trust them. And right now, if you buy two windows, you'll get two free. Plus, you'll pay nothing for 24 months. But hurry up because the sale ends October 31st. Again, buy two windows, you'll get two windows for free. And you pay nothing for 24 months. That's Window Nation. Again, I seriously, give them a try. If you're ready to update those windows, if you're ready to get the energy-efficient ones that keep the warm air in or the cool air if it's the summer, Window Nation. Schedule an in-home estimate by calling 866-90-NATION or by visiting windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
The thing that had a lot of people excited about Will last year, administratively, coaching-wise here, were the occasional brilliant throws.
No doubt.
And that's, I guess you talk about some of those on tape when you arrived. Outside of maybe the 40-yard touchdown against the Jets that he snuck between two defenders, how many of those kinds of throws do you feel like he's made this year?
Probably. I mean, again, short, small sample size too, but I think he made a couple. I think he made a few more over the course of the season last year, and we'll keep trying to find places for him to make those. You know, I thought that the throw that got intercepted to the against the Jets was an aggressive throw that you'd like to – had you come down with it, you feel pretty good about. He made a really nice throw to Calvin on a bench route in that game too, late in the game. Beautiful timing and anticipation, accuracy. And he's thrown a couple other balls that may not be as exciting as some, but are still really, really good throws. I mean, we're still trying to find ways to unlock that too, try to get more balls down the field, a little more explosive when we can. But yeah, those are the things that makes Will an exciting player, and got to keep finding ways to let him do that.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday saying a lot, but I'm guessing that most of what he said probably went in one ear and out the other, because this is a production league. So when Brian Callahan's like, well, you know, he had a great bench route over to Calvin, which he threw to the sideline. It was a great throw, and it was a, again, when you have to tell us that he's had wow plays, then he's not having wow plays. Again, when it comes to, let's use Diego Pavia as an example here. Ian, is it hard to find Diego Pavia with some wow plays for Vanderbilt?
Not this past game.
I mean, when the guy, when it's fourth and one and he throws the ball 38 yards down the field and guy catches it right in the hand, I'd say it's a pretty wow play. You don't have to do that. Like, Mahomes has wow plays. And last year, Levis had some wow plays. Now, here is an alarming stat that, again, hearing Levis say, you know, maybe sometimes last year I threw passes, some of those wow plays that I didn't need to, and I could have, you know, checked it down to Chigakonkwo, whatever. Here's an alarming stat. It's the yards per attempt stat. It's very important to personnel people in the NFL, and it's also a very important Vegas stat. Yards per attempt for Will Levis, the line of demarcation when it comes to yards per attempt for a quarterback, as in good or bad, it's like we talk about a 900 save percentage for a goalie. If you're a goalie in hockey and you've got an 897 save percentage, you suck. It's the line of demarcation. It's the Mendoza line. The number for yards per attempt is 7. That's the magic number. This year, Will Levis, or excuse me, last year, yards per attempt without Calvin Ridley, 7.1. Again, acceptable. This year, yards per attempt with Calvin Ridley on his team, 6.2. So he is throwing the ball. Yards per attempt is 1 yard shorter, and they just paid a guy $25 million to be this team's number one receiver. And not only that, it's a $25 million guy who his number one thing is running down the field. He's the fastest receiver you've got. You didn't have a guy that's as fast as he was last year. And I looked at all the Brian Callahan quarterbacks. Again, Levis is 6.2 yards per attempt. Peyton Manning in 2015, when Callahan was a quote-unquote offensive assistant. Peyton Manning, 6.8. Now, remember, at that point, Peyton Manning couldn't even feel his fingertips anymore, and he was still 6.8. He was 7.7 for his career, but 6.8. Stafford in 2016, 7.3. Stafford in 2017, 7.9. Derek Carr in 2018, 7.3. Andy Dalton in 2019, the year that the Bengals got the number one pick, 6.6. So Andy Dalton, quarterbacking the worst team in the NFL in 2019, still averaged more yards per attempt than Will Levis. Joe Burrow is a rookie, 6.7. Joe Burrow, his second year, led the NFL at 8.9 yards per attempt. And do you want to know what I assume is the number one reason that Joe Burrow led the NFL in yards per attempt his second year, but not his first year? Because he had Ja'Marr Chase. Again, the Titans have gone out, regardless of how good Ridley is. I think Ridley's a number two, who you're paying like a number one, because if you want to get a receiver in free agency, you're going to have to pay him like a number one receiver, even if they're not a number one receiver. But again, Ridley should add to the yards per attempt, not take away. And it goes back to my initial theory, and I said this last week in Jared versus Joe, and I got crucified for it. But I think Brian Callahan had an idea for what he wanted to do with Will Levis before he even spent time with Will Levis. And that is what I would call an inexperienced person's no-no. You know, the show that I love, I even referenced it in the first hour today, the Felger and Mass program in Boston. It's a crass radio show, but it's hilarious. They are tough on the Patriots, the Bruins, the Red Sox, the Celtics. I still listen to that show, and I don't care about those teams. Those guys are rough. You think I'm bad, listen to them. And I always had a dream of doing a show like that. And I wanted Jared and the GM to be that way. But it didn't take me long to realize that with the GM, he had a certain level of expertise, but also a certain level of respect for the football players and the football coaches, and he wasn't going to chuck people under the bus the way that they, those two guys who, again, they used to be writers and now they're, you know, talk show hosts, they don't have the same kind of expertise that Floyd had, and they don't have the same kind of relationships and, hey, I'm going to treat these guys differently kind of vibe. And so instead of expecting Floyd to get on here and bash the coach and bash the quarterback and bash the GM and bash, instead of that, we were finding ways to use what he was good at. That's why we used to have the Floyd Reese Draft Academy during the offseason in the lead up to the draft, where he would talk about how they go about putting together the draft board one day, or how they go about scouting different players, or what they do at the Senior Bowl, or how they make a trade during the draft, because people wanted to know, and he knew. You know, the amount of things I'd love to know right now they haven't seen with it. But again, that's because very early on I had an idea for what I wanted our show to be, but then I realized we can't emulate that show because he's not like those guys, but he brings something else to the table. My guess is Brian Callahan, again, a young coach, said, this is what I'm going to do with Levis, before really truly understanding what Levis was about. That's a problem. And again, I keep circling back to the right tackle position because I think what happened to the Titans, you know, now they're trying Leroy Watson out there. Leroy Watson! I'm going to do that every time, by the way. But now they're trying Leroy Watson out at right tackle. He and Nicholas Pete Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT are battling it out at right tackle. So a guy who wasn't good enough to make the team 6 weeks ago is now battling it out for right tackle. As the old man would say, at that point, you just swap and spit. And so it's not going to get any better at right tackle. But the problem is I kept saying from the day, like, go get a right tackle. Go get a right tackle. And they kept saying, you know, we think PT and Duncan can do it. And I'm like, you can think it till the cows come home, but they can't do it. But they probably thought they could because, again, they're inexperienced. So the expectation for what they thought they could do is not the same of what they actually could do. I used to have all these grand ideas. We could do this. We should do that. We should. Now I'm very measured. Now I'm like, that sounds like a good idea, but is it actually feasible to do? And I think that's the experience that Brian Callahan's getting here. And that's why Levis has essentially regressed in spite of the fact that they've gone out and gotten him a number one receiver. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. 615-737-1025 here on the program if you guys want to weigh in. And there's also another thing that maybe has stymied Will Levis's, I want to say ascent, but if I say ascent, that means that he had to have been on that path or that he was likely to have been on that path, which stymied the potential for him to be good. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fog Street Lawn Club. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. British Lawn Bowling. Scrumptious bites and premier soccer pub vibes all in one place. Get half off a $30 gift card to Fog Street Lawn Club now while supplies last.
Did you see Jordan Love's interception? And seeing that, did that make you not beat up on yourself so much?
There's a couple examples that coaches told me that have made me feel a little bit better about myself. I think you said Tom Brady in the AFC Championship threw an identical pick to what I did to Von Miller to a dropping defensive end. Like, those things happen. Like, things where the vision's not there. Someone's in front of you. You don't really see what's going on. And then again, he sent me a clip last night of Burrow trying to throw it away like this on the sideline and it getting picked in his rookie year or something. And he's like, yeah, he turned out to be pretty good. So that was just funny to see those things and knowing it happens to everybody.
There you go. Hey, all these bad interceptions I throw, they showed me one that Tom Brady threw years ago in an AFC title game where Von Miller was dropping. Brady threw the ball. It hit Von Miller right in the hands. Yeah, I mean, hey, it happens. The one I threw against Green Bay, oh, here's one Joe Burrow just threw. Jordan Love threw one last week. Hey, similar to Will Levis. It's a, hey. You know what the difference is, though, between the two? Levis does it every week. I've watched enough Tom Brady football to know that Tom Brady can get away with making a mistake because he'll make up for it later. You can't say that about Will Levis. By the way, in that AFC title game, I believe that Levis is referencing, Brady led the Patriots back, and they would have tied the game and gone to overtime if Steven Gostkowski had not missed an extra point. So, again, there's a difference. And I'm getting a little tired of the coddling. And when it's like, hey, coach sent me a clip the other day of Joe Burrow throwing an interception, and he said Joe Burrow turned out pretty well. It's like, that kind of sounds like coddling. Like I've said, when it comes to Will Levis, clean slate with a full plate here. So forget about all the past stuff. And even though I'm kind of out on him, let's see, you know, starting now with the bye, with a month under his belt, let's see what happens. But don't go coddling and say, oh, no, all these interceptions are okay. No, they are not okay. There's also another thing that I do wonder when it comes to the regression of Will Levis, if that's the word we want to use, regression. I do wonder how much Derrick Henry not being here has aided in that regression. No matter what you thought of Derrick Henry, and a lot of you thought, we don't need Derrick Henry. Trust me, I took your calls. A lot of you guys thought Derrick Henry was washed. But regardless of what you think of Derrick Henry, every single person in the NFL considered Derrick Henry a threat when they would play the Titans, and they treated him as such. I can promise you right now, on the Wednesday morning meetings, when it came to the Titans, and they're sitting there saying, all right, boys, we got Tennessee. On offense, what we're going to have to worry about is 22. Remember when Mike Tomlin on Thursday Night Football was talking about the Titans ahead of the game, and he talked about how Derrick Henry, you give him the ball, he can kill you, he can bruise you, he can this, he can that, he can that. DeAndre Hopkins, he's still the same old D-Hop. You know, he goes out there, makes these great catches. He's a threat at all times. We got to worry about DeAndre. We got to – the other guys they have on their team, they're good too. Onconquo. And that was the only one he mentioned. Onconquo. So now Derrick Henry's not there. And Tony Pollard's a good player. But Tony Pollard ain't Derrick Henry. Sorry. I mean, for crying out loud, Derrick Henry single-handedly kept Jacksonville out of the playoffs last year by rushing for 153 yards with the worst offensive line in the league in front of him. So maybe when I kept saying last year, they're going to need to re-sign Derrick Henry. Well, but, you know, they want to throw the ball to backs that catch the ball, and they want to get more playing time for Tajay Spears, and, yeah, that sounds good, but they're not Derrick Henry. In fact, it's hilarious to me. Ian, did you notice this in the clips I sent you? The one from last year I sent you on this very day?
Yes, I did. I thought maybe you labeled the clip wrong because it was this exact same date, just a year off.
So I did the same thing yesterday with a clip we didn't play, and I didn't even listen to it, but I saw in the title it was Mike Vrabel tells Teresa Walker that he is, and it's a word that starts with S. Uh-huh. So my guess is that Teresa, because remember, she used to ask the first question all the Vrabel press conferences. She said, Mike, how you doing? And he replied with a word that starts with S and ends with T.
Why?
Why? Well, I was saying like T-Y together makes T.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Sure. Sorry, I made that confusing.
But no, you're right. You're right. That word. There was another one today that I found. That was apparently a cut from a year ago. Didn't even listen to it. Just sent it in the email to Ian. This is what people were thinking last year. Ian, do you have this cut for me?
Yes, I believe I do. Yeah.
Play it. It's from our own Willie Donick.
Two things we always talk about with the stats, right? There's the eye test, mm-hmm. and then there's the analytics. And how do the two meet? Then there's the analytics, which suggests that Derrick Henry doesn't break as many tackles mm-hmm. as he once did. There's this new stat that people are developing called expected yards per attempt, right? They look at the play. I don't know how they come up with it, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it's like, should you get – a good running back will get more than expected. An average running back will get exactly what's expected, and then people will get below. Derrick Henry.
How do you even calculate that?
I don't know. Derrick Henry does not grade nearly as well in these categories as he did 3-4 years ago. Tajay Spears grades really well in these things.
Okay. You want? I don't know what the analytic.com says. My guess is ever since Derrick went to Baltimore and they got a better offensive line, all of a sudden the analytic numbers say Derrick's better too. But everybody, including the administration of this football team, convinced themselves Derrick Henry was no good. And I think it is hurting the young quarterback. If there was ever a hope for him, it's hurting the young quarterback that Derrick Henry's not there anymore. I think it is hurting him. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Somebody text in, Mo did. And said, what are your thoughts on Callahan sending Levis clips of Joe Burrow and Tom Brady throwing interceptions and telling him it's normal? I'm guessing that was before we started the segment, but I got one word for that. Coddling. That's what I think it is. 615-737-1025 here on our program if you want to weigh in. And there is a headline that is out there that a lot of people are like, and they're almost enjoying it. And I got to tell you, don't you have something better to worry about? We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, tune into 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will take on Louisiana Tech on the road. Pregame starts at 5:30. Kickoff is at 7. Coverage of MTSU football on 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcade and ATV. And let's give away a pair of tickets. That's right, the second pair this hour to see the Predators taking on the Seattle Kraken at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday. Be caller 5. At 615-737-1025, and you are headed to Tuesday night's game. Good luck. We'll be giving away a pair in the 4 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour at Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game. Stillman & Company, we are live at Bridgestone Arena. Be sure to join us for the award-winning pregame show on Sunday, at live at John Bon Jovi's, JBJ's, downtown on Broadway. Me, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason ahead of the Titans and the Colts starting at 9:30, the award-winning pregame show. And remember, you know, it's not going to be like when the Packers were here with all the fans they had, but it might be like the Jets. The Colts will bring some fans. But they open JBJ's earlier than they open Hank's because they want visiting fans to go to Hank's. They want Titan fans at JBJ, so we hope to see all the Titan fans out there. The award-winning pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Okay, so I guess it was announced today. I don't know. I mean, I've been busy with my own problems with this team as opposed to, you know, these other teams around the league. So it was announced today that the New York Jets have decided to take the play calling away from Nathaniel Hackett, and they're going to give it to his assistant, Todd Downing. And today people were tweeting me being like, what do you think of Todd Downing calling the plays for the Jets? And somebody in the last hour when we were talking Predators texted in and said, talk about the Todd Downing calling the plays for the Jets. And when I got here to Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena, Adam Vingan on the Midday Show was like, I got something Jared Stillman will care about. Todd Downing is calling plays for the Jets. Why do I give a rat's ass about Todd Downing calling plays for the Jets? Why do I care about that? I mean, I guess good for Todd Downing. Maybe if they score some points, he'll refrain from getting behind the wheel of the car after doing ayahuasca with Aaron on the way home. Just be something I would advise. But again, as far as like, I don't know what to make of this. Like, there's no juice with Todd Downing taking over the Jets. The Jets suck, Todd Downing sucks, and the Titans suck. So, I mean, yay, congratulations. In fact, the guy that came in here and beat you calling the plays, you couldn't get a turnover on them, and they scored on their last drive at the end of the game, and you didn't. The guy that came in here and beat you isn't good enough to call their plays. In fact, they think Todd Downing might be better off calling their plays. So you lost to a guy who's not good enough to call the plays, and again, they'd rather have Todd Downing call them. Guys, the things I care about when people leave here are the guys who matter. The guys who, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep. Even if Todd Downing does well with the Jets, which he's not going to, but even if Todd Downing does well with the Jets, so he was terrible with the Titans. It was a terrible decision by Mike Vrabel to retain him after 2021. He was terrible in 2022. He was never going to keep his job after the DUI, especially once that video got released. It was never going to happen, even if he was good at calling the plays, and he wasn't. But Todd Downing's not the reason this team went in the toilet. The guys I care about are the guys that you think are the reason this team's going down in the toilet, and they'll get an opportunity to show it somewhere else. Mike Vrabel will be a head coach in the NFL next season. In fact, Mike Vrabel might be the Jets coach next season. And if they hire Mike Vrabel, then I'll care. Because the Titans thought Mike Vrabel was the problem. Now, I wanted to get rid of Mike Vrabel too. And I think Vrabel will win where he goes next. And when he does win, I will say, hey, this is the deal with Vrabel. He's got a shelf life. And then eventually he'll make everybody there mad. Derrick Henry. Again, you guys wanted to trade him last year. You guys thought he was washed. You guys thought he couldn't play. Now he's leading the league in rushing, and he's number one in yards per game. Not just yards. The Ravens are number one in total offense and number one in running the ball. In fact, I think they run the ball, Ian, if I'm not mistaken, I think they run the ball at like 6.2 yards a crack or something redonkulous.
You said the Ravens?
Yeah. That's what Will Levis is throwing yards per attempt. So I care more about that than I do Todd Downing. I don't care about the Jets. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers. I don't care about Todd Downing. I don't care about any of that. I did think it was funny. Aaron Rodgers went on the McAfee show yesterday, and Aaron Rodgers said, what did he say on the Mac? He said that all the rumors that he was part of the reason that Robert Saleh got fired are patently false. And somebody on Twitter said, sorry, Aaron, I did my own research and I have to disagree, which is hilarious, obviously, given the fact that Aaron Rodgers is a conspiracy.
Ravens 6.1.
Oh, my God. So the Ravens run the ball. Every attempt the Ravens run the ball is the same as every time the Titans throw the ball.
Derek's at six right now. Henry.
Every time Derrick Henry runs the ball, it's the exact same almost as when Will Levis throws the ball. You ever seen somebody rush for 350 yards in a game? The answer is no. That's how sad it is in Titan land and how good things are for Derrick Henry now that he's gone. So celebrating Todd Downing, I mean, come on now. Todd Downing, I'm so happy he's calling the Jets plays. What do I care? What do you care? What do any of us care about Todd Downing? And yet the people that are like, oh, my God, this is so great. Joey from Bellevue says, believing in Will Levis the way they do will ultimately cost someone their job. I got a feeling it might cost everybody their job. I'm serious. The hard reset is coming. And I don't know when that's going to be. But every year they change somebody. Change coach, change quarterback, change GM. Every year they change them. At some point, the Titans are going to get sick of this, and they're just going to blow it up. And they're going to start over, and they're going to do what they did in 2015, and they're going to be run like a regular organization. They're going to go get somebody to be a GM, and they're going to get somebody to be the coach, and they're going to get somebody to be the quarterback. They're going to do what Washington did. And I don't know when it's going to be, but it is going to happen. They're going to stop with this weird structure of president of football operations. So are you in charge of the IT department or are you in charge of the team? Because those are two totally different things. At some point, that's going to happen. I agree, though, that the Will Levis thing, it's gonna cost somebody their job. And it may or may not be fair, but like that's the reality of the NFL is if you get it wrong at quarterback, like, sorry. Think about the Commanders again. They've gone with the clean sweep, and they've even gotten rid of the owner. But think about the Commanders. New GM, new coach, new quarterback. Where's Ron Rivera? He's on TV. Where's Eric Bieniemy? He can't even get a job. Where's Sam Howell? He's backing up Geno Smith. That is the reality when you commit to somebody and they end up being the wrong guy. Everybody gets it at some point. So, when it comes to the Titans, I mean, I would agree. I mean, they've got two choices here, right? Get better or get bitter. Justin says, all the change doesn't give us to see who really is the problem. I want them to do what you're talking about because this seems to be the best formula to run an NFL team from the ground up. See, that's what bothers me so much when I said last year, I was like, it's time to just clean house. It's time to start over. And it's time to go. And people were like, you can't fire. Nobody like cared that I said fire the coach and the GM. It was, you can't fire a GM after 1 year. I'm like, I'm just trying to bring balance back to the organization. And I'm not going to promote the guy because he didn't do a job worth promoting. He drafted a guard. And it sounds like Brinker got the promotion of the group and... Well, Derrick Henry's running the ball for just as much as you're throwing the ball, which is a serious problem. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. TD will join us coming up next here on the program. We are live at Bridgestone Arena for the TD Power Hour, and then Barry Trotz at 5 o'clock. So we are loaded. Leading into the Pred season opener tonight at 7 o'clock right here at Bridgestone Arena, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That's coming up next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there, and this is very important, for me to tell all the fine folks to tune in to Vandy Football. That's right, Vandy Football will be on 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 6:45. That's Vandy Football this Saturday on 94.9 The Fan.